refreshing to see you guys. Crazy week. Last week. 24 days till I get married. Woo! I got a reason to scream and shout, babe. Come on. Some good news, Shakira's in town. Yeah! We miss you, girl. We miss your big hair and your attitude. That's awesome. So we're gonna pray tonight. I woke up this morning not knowing that I was preaching. Amen. And what's funny is that today we're gonna talk about persevering through suffering. And kind of accurate that I'm doing that lesson today. But before we do that, let's pray. Grab the hand of the person next to you and pray for them. Our Father God, we're so grateful just for you. We're so grateful for your love, for your mercy, for the ways that you've disturbed and bothered and troubled the monotony of our life, God, to enter into our world, to enter into our lives and what we think is our comfort, to give us a life that is absolutely to the full. God, a life that is challenging, a life that is confusing, a life that sometimes I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but God, this certainly is the most exciting, the most exhilarating, the most fulfilling life that we could ever have is living it in you. Yeah. We thank you so much for times like this at midweek that we come together to worship you, to focus on you, God. You are so worthy of our praise, so worthy of our focus. Yeah. I pray that just as we're doing this tonight, that you get me out of the way. You speak the message of your word. Speak powerfully through your word, God. I pray for all the hearts of the people in this room just to be changed by what it is that you have to say, God. Yeah. We thank you so much that you want us to grow. You want us to change. We love you. Praise God's name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, man.
There's a song that ever since I was a kid, I grew up singing this in the kingdom culture, the kingdom kid that I was going to church. And it was that song, Sanctuary. And I remember as a young little kingdom kid, my mom's friend would come over the house while I was showering. And they, you know, this is, go with me on this. They would be in the other room and I knew that another spiritual person was in the house. And I would yell while I was in the shower, "Oh Lord, prepare me!" And then I would come out of the shower, get all dressed, and then I'd be like, "Did you hear that?" Yeah, I'm spiritual, right? But that song, since I was a kid, was always such a good song. But it wasn't until I was older that I actually started to understand the lyrics. Right. And the lyrics say, "Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, something, something, pure and holy, tried and true."
I'll be a living.
I get it. So, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, to be a dwelling for you, pure and set apart, tried and found true. And that's an amazing, amazing song that we sing, because what God's doing in that, and when we sing it, is we're asking God, make me holy, make me pure, make me a tried and found true being so that you can dwell within me. I love that. I love that what God wants to do through Jesus and what God wants to do through our walk with him is simply make us holy, help us be pure, help us be tried, and come through true so that he can dwell within us. Amen? What we're going to talk about tonight is going deeper into your maturity. Deeper into your completion. Now, I've read the scripture before in the past, but it's a scripture that we just can't get over. And so Ephesians chapter 2, I believe. Ephesians 4. Let's turn over there.
Come on, bro.
Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1. Now, he's talking to the disciples here. If you've made the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life and to follow him with every ounce of your being, this is written to you. And if you haven't chosen to do that yet, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, this is written for you to understand what God wants to do with your life. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We've read that before, and I read that when I preached a couple weeks ago, but such a powerful passage. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What God has done in his grace is he has stamped you. If you are in him, he has stamped you and made you 100% pure, 100% holy, 100% tried, and 100% true. Is that God, in his amazing grace, in his amazing power, has turned you into a sanctuary for him. That is who you are. That's your nature. That's what defines you now, is you are a sanctuary. And the passage then says, well, if that's who you are, then live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Now, you might not be living as if you are 100% holy, 100% tried and 100% true, or 100% pure, right? But God goes, that's how I look at you. Now live a life so that you can be, in your actions, 100% that. So that you can be Jesus on this earth. That's our goal, is that in every aspect of our being, right? We wake up in the morning and we don't go, I want to be worse than I was yesterday.
Come on.
We wake up in the morning and we go, today I'm going to be better than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, the continual idea of our life is that, of these years that we're living, is that we're trying to grow. We're trying to be more mature. We're trying to be more complete. So that when the day comes that Jesus comes back to get us, is that we're reflecting him more then than we are now. Than you were 1 year ago. Than you were 5 years ago. The goal is maturity. The goal is growth. And what's so cool is that God wants you to grow. Don't you want to grow? Raise your hand if you want some growth up in here. Absolutely. Some of you guys want to grow in your muscles. I do. Hello. Some of you guys want to grow your intelligence. Some of you guys want to grow in your companionship with somebody else, right? You want to grow. You want to go somewhere. You want to be more mature, more complete. I know you do, because we all do. We all want something. We all want to go somewhere. But the crazy thing is that few of us are willing to pay the price. Open your Bibles over to James chapter 1. We're going back to the basics this morning. Deeper in maturity. Back to the basics. As a young disciple, I remember waking up at 5:30 in the morning and having my quiet times in my bedroom. My mom was still asleep. Everyone else was still asleep. But I knew that I needed the Word of God. And as a young disciple, I used to get up so early and I would just memorize passages and write down passages on a note card that I would keep in my pocket as I went through school. And this was one of the first scriptures that I memorized.
Come on, Matt.
This was a core conviction I had developed as a young disciple. And I pray that as you read this today, you too will grow in this conviction. God wants you to mature, but few are willing to pay the price. Verse 2, James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy. Let's pause there. What is pure joy for you? Raise your hand. When you think of pure joy, what do you think about? Oh my gosh, even the word.
Chicken or the egg.
Chicken or the egg. Ice cream. Ice cream on a day like this, right? Being closer to the fan. David. All right, what do you consider pure joy, bro? When you think of pure joy, what do you think about? The Yankees game. Watching them
Yankee
win.
Stadium. Come on, man.
If that happens. What else? Pure joy. Go for it. What,
Bradley
okay.
giggling.
We got time to talk. What?
Bradley giggling.
Bradley giggling. That's so cool.
That's the best.
No worry. Oh, what a great feeling.
No loans.
No loans. Yes. That weight of those loans, the credit card, all that, right off your shoulder. Carlo.
What kind of joy when you're feeling you're in control?
Okay, feeling like you're in control. Kind of sort of joy. But I'm talking pure joy. When you think of pure joy, let's talk about that. Yeah. The birth of your children. Now, that's funny because in so much pain, right, there's so much joy.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Consider pure joy through
what
trials.
What else? What else? We all got it. Jordan?
And contractions.
We graduated high school. Oh, yes. Come on. You what?
Just say it. A whole tub of ice cream. Did you say by yourself? By yourself. I heard that.
All right, me, my pure joy is a summer day, laying down on the beach, taking a nap, and waking up to the sound of the ocean. Like, oh, it's pure joy. Now, you guys know what pure joy is. And you know what pure joy feels like, right? We're going to read this scripture, but this is probably what you not, likely what you wouldn't associate with pure joy. But think about this. This is James, commanding the church to have pure joy in this context. Have that feeling of pure joy. When I hear pure joy, all I want to do is just scream, "Whoa! Yes! Pure joy, baby!" Have that feeling in the midst of this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay. Let's pause there. So God, because God speaks through James here, God, you're telling me and commanding me to have that woo, pure joy. Ice cream on the beach. Right? Birth of my child. You want me to have that pure joy whenever I face trials of many kinds? Really? Really, God? That's your desire for me? When I face trials of many kinds, pure joy is not the first thing I think about. The first thing I think about is, all right, well, when's this going to be done?
Right.
when am I done?
Pure impatience.
Pure impatience is a good way to think about it. I think about trials. I think about the anger. I think about the frustration of, why is this happening to me?
Yes.
I think about it and I go, did you really mean to choose me when you decided to do that, God? Mm. Really? Maybe you meant to pick somebody else, because that's not fair for me.
Come on, Matt. Right. Keep it real.
I think of trials, and pure joy is literally last on the list when I associate trials
right.
with a word. But today, I want to challenge you to rethink the way you think about your trials. All of us go through trials. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's going to happen. You're going to face trials. Maybe you face trials today. Maybe you're facing trials. Maybe you've faced trials. Maybe tonight you will face trials. Maybe you will face trials tomorrow. You will face trials. And whenever it happens, and every time it happens, the command for us is to consider it pure joy. Now, God, how does that make sense? Why on earth would I do that? Verse 3. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Ooh, yeah, baby. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you're saying mature in my relationships? Absolutely. Mature in my spiritual thinking? Absolutely. Mature in my body? Yeah, sure. You're saying maturity? I want that so bad. We all want that. We raised our hands in the beginning. Is that we want to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What would you look like if you were mature and complete, not lacking anything? How would your relationships be if you were mature and complete, not lacking anything? Would you be overwhelmed when things came your way, or would you have peace? Would you be going crazy when the money wasn't coming in, or would you have peace? If you were mature and complete, not lacking anything, you'd have the ability to sit down with someone and help them come to Christ with the knowledge of the Bible. God does his thing. You plant, you water, God makes it grow. But if you have maturity and completion, you're able to help people in your place. That would be so awesome, wouldn't it? But here's the formula. And we can't forget the formula here. Consider it pure joy, because when you face trials plus perseverance equals mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, so what do? I consider my trials pure joy. Why? Because trials are a predecessor to maturity and completion. The greatest gift that you can ever have is maturity and completion. That's what we ask for. If someone gives you a Bowflex for Christmas, it's because you're going to get jacked. Right? That's a great gift. Come on, baby. That's the end goal, is maturity completion. But it comes only through trial and only through perseverance. Guys, I don't think we like that word, perseverance. And here's why we don't like the word perseverance. Perseverance is a big question mark. Perseverance is a word where it's like, okay, well, I could, so that hurts, but persevering is overcoming that pain that I'm feeling and keeping going. I could do that, right? You guys ever lifted a little bit?
Yeah. Come on.
Maybe done a push-up? I know Allison has. Come on. You do one of those things, and it hurts a little bit. It's like, okay. I could do another one. Oh, okay. I hurt a little more. Oh, okay, I'm persevering. I'm done, right? Perseverance in itself isn't a hard thing. It's something that we could do quite easily. The hard part about perseverance is that there's no end, there's no time period for perseverance. We engage in persevering and it's like, I don't know when this is gonna end. The problem isn't perseverance. The problem is the question mark of when it's gonna end. Because the Bible says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That sounds great and all, but God, are you really, when is this perseverance going to end? Well, what's amazing is that at the end of perseverance, there is maturity and completion, not lacking anything. I love this story. There's a story about a woman who tried to swim across the English Channel. You guys ever heard this story before?
Yeah,
we all have. But let's just go back to it. Because it's us, right? Let's have some family talk. This is real. I mean, as a campus ministry, we want to be mature, complete, not lacking anything. We want to be different from who we were last year. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to have a summer where we're the same before we started to the end. We want to be different, okay? But the only way to get there is perseverance. This woman goes across the English Channel. Her goal, she's going to be the first woman to ever swim the English Channel. So she begins. She starts off on, I would say, the English side and goes to the Irish side. Alex, don't correct me. I understand if I'm wrong. She starts off on the English side. She starts swimming, and she's killing it. She's going. And then a thick fog settles in. And while she's swimming, she can't see where the Irish side is. At first she could, but then she keeps going, but she can't see where it's going. And so she's swimming, and then she just gets exhausted. She's like, when is this going to be done? Right. When am I going to be finished with this persevering of how painful this swim? Is it even worth it? Because I don't even know how close I am. So eventually she can't take it anymore. She goes, I can't do this. So she stops. And the people are like, no, don't stop. But she stops. The fog clears or whatever it is, and then she finds out she's like 100 meters away from finishing. She is so stinking close from being the first woman to do it. But she gave up because that question mark of perseverance plagued her. She goes, okay, I see my trial. I see my financial circumstances are really hard. Okay, I see that guy at school, or that guy on Facebook hit me up, and I'm gonna say no. Hi, how are you, right? Because perseverance is hard. When we don't know when it's gonna finish, we're like, well, I'm gonna give up eventually. But God says no. Every trial that you face is a gift wrapped in such ugly gift wrap. Every trial that you face is a gift that you look at and you go, I wouldn't want that because how it's wrapped. But when you open it, it's worth everything.
Come on, Matt.
Every trial that you face, I want you to associate that tonight. And I want you to develop that conviction. And God wants you to develop the conviction that when you face a trial, whatever it is, you know what your trials are. We could go around the room right now and name what your trial is. But God wants you to face that trial with joy because God is providing you an opportunity to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. 1 Corinthians 10 says, God will never give you more than you can handle or bear. But he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Every trial you face will not swallow you. Everything you face, there is nothing that's going to terminate you. You can persevere. And God will get you through.
Amen.
And what's amazing is the process of that perseverance is you are becoming the person that God created you to be. Amen?
Amen.
So when you guys face your trials, how are you going to look at it?
Pure joy.
Pure joy.
Amen.
Woo! All right.
Traffic.
God, this is an opportunity for me to become mature and complete in my faith.
Yeah.
Amen. You name it. We face trials so many times. But that simply means that we should be the most mature people in this entire world.
Right.
Because we're going to face our trials and overcome them. Here's the last thing I'll say about the scripture, then we'll look at a different one of Romans chapter 5, a different perspective on this. Is that trials, if not handled spiritually, if not persevered from, do what for you?
Nothing!
You're going to face trials regardless. Every single day, you're going to get it coming to you. Insecurity, whatever it is. You're going to face your trial. And you decide that trial, oh man, you want me to persevere, God? I'm not even trying to persevere. I'm just going to give in to that sin. I'm just going to do that. Or whatever it is. If you don't persevere, you don't persevere through that trial that you face, you're going to feel the same sense of pain.
Yeah.
That same sense of being overwhelmed. The same sense of insecurity. But you're going to get no added benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Every trial that you face, you have the choice of either I'm going to pursue this and actually gain something from the pain that's being given to me, or I'm simply going to just face this trial, have pain, and then not grow as a result. The Christian response to trials, the Jesus response to trials, is I'm going to persevere. And as a result, I'm going to be better. Thank you, God, for this trial. I want you guys to thank God when you have trials, rather than run away from it. Amen? Romans chapter 5. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
I love that God wants to make us all mature and complete, not like anything. Romans chapter 5. Woo!
What's up, Matt?
You guys there?
Yeah.
All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Can I get somebody to stand up and read verses 1 through 5? Go for it, Alex. Nice and loud. You can hear the Bible.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Amen. Thanks, Alex. All right, let's break this down verse by verse here. Paul says, therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into the greatest gift this world has to offer, which is grace. Which God has to offer, which is grace, in which we now stand. Now here's what's interesting about this passage, and this is something that we all have to understand, is that grace precedes perseverance. I believe that. I believe that before you persevere, in order to persevere fully, you have to have a motivation. I don't know what your motivation is going to be, right? Okay, you're going to work out, you're going to do good body. That's great, okay? That's a motivation, sure. But when it comes to the spiritual things that are so hard, the things that are integral, the depression, the fear, the insecurity, the pain, whatever it is, making the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, making the decision to give up things that you once had that you're living in to follow God, whatever that is, to make a radical decision like that, to persevere into making that decision, I think first comes that understanding about what God's grace is going to do for you. What God's grace has already done for you. That first passage we looked about, how God has looked at you, and as a result, because of Him saving you, and that action of saving you, is that now you are perfect before Him. Now you're right before Him. It's awesome. But the same way here, God goes, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so we boast of the hope of the glory of God. We boast that one day we're going to see God. One day we're going to be in heaven. Come on, baby, that's awesome. So we consider our trials pure joy. Because suffering then produces character. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character?
Hope.
Hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame. But I want to ask you this morning. Oh my gosh. Nope. I want to ask you tonight. Is grace enough for you? Is God's grace enough for you? Is God's grace enough for you? And the reason I ask that question is because if God's grace is enough for you, you know, thinking about the beginning of the world, our biggest need was the forgiveness of our sins. We have an eternity in heaven, okay? I'm in a little broader spectrum here. But we have an eternity either in heaven or in hell. Our life, you think of a shoelace, right? You have a shoelace, and the tip of your shoelace is called an aglet. And that tip of the shoelace is your life. Is that what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, you got 100 years on this earth, maybe you got 85 years, who knows how much you got. That's what a lot of us think that we're living for. That's what the world thinks that they're living for, right? God goes, okay, well, there's that, and there's also the shoelace that extends from here to California and back 5 times. Mm-hmm. Right, that's your eternity. This life is simply a small portion of that eternity.
Yeah.
And the decisions we make in this life are going to affect where we go for our eternity. That's huge. God's like, I've got awesome things for you. I want you to be in heaven. I put you in heaven. I've got you there. And that is where our inspiration comes from. We face trials on this earth, and it's like, oh my gosh. Okay, I will overcome this because I know what I've got coming for me. So is grace enough? The question that goes with that is heaven enough? Sinning and giving up on God, turning your back on God, is turning your back on the greatest eternity. That's a foolish decision. When you have a mindset of I'm thinking about beyond and not just this small life, but I'm thinking about the shoelace that extends from here to California, you're going to make the decision that affects the California group, not just the decision that affects this group. So that's why I'm saying grace. Heaven. Those things precede perseverance, because when you have that mindset of what you're working towards, the decision is simple to persevere.
Yeah.
Is heaven on your mindset? Is that enough? Amen?
Yeah.
And the passage goes on. As we're reading it. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know, it's a fact, it's an absolute fact that we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I just want to encourage you. Wherever you're at today, it's okay, right? You're going to suffer. We're all going to suffer. And that's the point that I was making earlier. We're all going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But that suffering has in store for you some of the greatest gifts ever. A strong character. A deep character.
Mm-hmm.
A different character. A hope. A hope to hold on to eternity that is worth it. A hope of I'm going to be with God for the rest of my life in paradise, versus a hope that's I'm not going to be with God, or a no hope at all. But here's the thing I want to encourage you guys with, and we're going to close out on this note. 1 year from now, imagine this, 1 year from now, every single person in this room comes back and enters into this room again. Right? I'll be married by then. Hallelujah. Come on. Maybe Carlos is married too. Who knows?
Well, some of you guys are, right?
Me? Okay, assuming that every one of us comes back and enters into the week July 19, 2018.
How would it feel if you come back here and you're the same exact person?
It'd be horrible. How would it feel if you come back here and nothing's different?
You can't even imagine that, right? But who are you going to be 1 year from now when you come back here?
There's people in this room who haven't made the decision yet to make Jesus Lord of their life because they're afraid of the consequences that it's going to have on their family, the consequences of what it's going to have on their relationships, on their life, and even their career. You come back a year from now, if you haven't made that decision yet, what have you done in that year? Perseverance, guys, is that this is what's going to change us. We come back 1 year from now, if we all take the challenge to view our sufferings as an opportunity for us to grow, this would not only be an incredible room of grown people, this would be a room that was filled to the brim. There wouldn't be enough room to fit people in here. Because if you chose to persevere and to grow, you would have grown so much that chances are you probably would have extended yourself. And you probably would have reached out to somebody. When you're growing and it's an awesome thing, you want people to know about that. Growing is the joy of discipleship. Amen. Growing is the thing that you ask yourself, hey, I'm not really sharing my faith. I'm not really doing this discipleship thing. I mean, I'm struggling right now. I haven't been fruitful in a while. Well, are you persevering? Are you overcoming your challenges and saying no to giving up and really persevering through those hard times? Are you doing that? Because when you are, you get some great joy from it. You get mature and complete, but you also get joy. And when you got joy, you got a deposit of that going on. You're going to share that with other people. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I love you guys a lot. Just a quick thought for you, just as we're getting together for midweek, just to chew on. I wanted to give you something. But consider your trials pure joy. Because you know what's coming down the pipeline when you persevere. Maturity and completion are like anything. Consider heaven. Consider what your actions and what your reactions are doing. And if you have heaven in the scope, or hell in the scope, you'll make a decision that's beneficial towards those things. I want to see us be mature. I want to see us as a ministry grow and be different and be holy and be set apart and be a sanctuary for the Lord.
Yeah.
What we got to choose today is that I am overcoming and I am persevering. Amen. I love you guys.